This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The Obama administration is encouraging a diplomatic assault on Israel, according to PA officials. The president quietly permitting recognition of a Palestinian state. Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today, we take a look at developments in our world, and not only developments as we see them, but developments that I believe are going to come in this year. In fact, as I sat before the Lord concerning this year and asked him specifically how this year will shape up and what it will look like in the framework of history and prophecy, one word came to my mind. I do believe the word was dropped in my mind. Beyond that, I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord. On the other hand, I believe that this word was given because indeed our year, this year, and for the next 18 months or so, will be a hyphen in history. Hyphen. The hyphen of history. 2011, the hyphen of history. Now let's talk a little bit about a hyphen. It's a very common word, and we use them in our writing style for a reason. And so I have the dictionary before me, Oxford's American Dictionary. A hyphen is a sign used to join words to indicate that they have a combined meaning or that they are linked in the grammar of a sentence. To indicate the division of a word at the end of a line or to indicate a missing or implied element. Now, indeed, there are at least two aspects of these definitions that I believe apply, and it is in those senses that I use the word hyphen, as 2011 being a hyphen of history. One, it's like a sign. It's a sign in that this year will be like a division that joins the past with the future. You say, well, that's obvious, because the future hasn't come and the past has already been, so obviously 2011 will be joining the past with the future. Well, yes, but I mean it in a deeper sense. I don't mean it just in the sense that it lies between the past and the future, but I mean that it actually breaks. It is a transition year in a very real and significant moral, spiritual, governmental, economic sense. That this year, 2011, moving into the first half of 2012, is going to be, words really are not sufficient to describe the import of these next 12 to 18 months. They are a hyphen that we begin to see for those who have their eyes open, for those who are acquainted with the Scriptures, for those who have a mind to see and a will to understand what's developing. They will see that indeed prophecy is marching very, very quickly into the completion of fulfillment. So 2011, I believe, is going to be connecting the past and the future, history, and the preeminence of prophecy. It's going to set the perceived glory of a coming global government against the prophesied glory of a coming Christ. It's going to set man's substituted peace against Christ's prophesied peace. It's going to set man's moral rebellion against God's righteousness. It's going to set man's efforts at unifying commerce against Christ's call for a unified church. It's going to set secular salvation against spiritual salvation. It's going to set the feelings of man against faith in Christ. It's going to set man's perceived power against God's prophecy. And it's going to set man's wisdom against God's truth. Now, those are eight items, and I don't normally make lists like this before broadcast, but with this particular word having dropped into my heart, the word hyphen, describing this year or the next 12 to 18 months, I felt that I needed to sit down and meditate actually on the implications of that. So those 8 points came out of that brief reflection or meditation on that word and its implications for our time. And as you consider those 8 items, I think you will find that even as we look at some of the historical developments that have taken place in the last week, or even indeed the last 2 or 3 days, that you will see how they fit into these 8 points, showing how rapidly things now are moving inexorably toward the second coming of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of all of the prophecies leading up to that momentous event. It is called the blessed hope of the church, and I hope that as we begin this new year, this hyphenated year in history, that you are setting your hopes on the kingdom of God. I hope that you are setting your hopes on Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I hope that you are setting your hopes on the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Peter said that those who are looking for him are going to be blessed. Well, how about those who are not looking for him? There are many Christians, in fact, I'd say the majority of Christians, that in reality don't much want Jesus to return. Certainly not now or in their lifetime. They don't much like the idea because they want things to go on business as usual. It was not like that in the early church. They were desperately waiting for the blessed hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so, if you are not waiting for that, if you are not growing in your anticipation for the second coming, then I would urge you to go before the Lord and ask him why. Why is it that you are not waiting for his coming? Why is it that you don't anticipate it with expectation? Why is it that you have a predominance of fear rather than faith as it comes to the second coming of Jesus Christ? Those are very good questions here as we begin this year. You know, Peter said that in the last days, scoffers are going to come. And they're going to say, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But Peter says they are willingly ignorant. These scoffers are willingly ignorant. Now, I hope that doesn't describe you, that you're willingly ignorant. And so on this program, we're determined that nobody be ignorant, that nobody be willingly ignorant, but we want to exhort you to prepare the way of the Lord and to have a growing expectation for that great day of the Lord and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Stay tuned, friends. We've just barely begun.
These are desperate times, and desperate times call for desperate measures. This is such a time for the American church. We see that something is desperately wrong in our nation, but it seems no one knows how to fix it. What can we do? God has an answer. America's only hope lies in a wholehearted return to the God who made her great. That must begin with us, with you and me. But how? How can we? What must we do to return to God? That is the subject of The Return, a powerful new book just released. It is an end-time epistle to the American church. Get your copy today, just $12 plus $4 postage and handling. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Chuck Chrismeyer writes, "The daunting truth is that destiny rides in the balance of our response. Will we return? Will you?" Call 1-800-SAVE-USA today.
Do you have all the money you need? Is your retirement set? Are you paying too much in taxes? Do you know how companies like Amazon, eBay, and Google made billions of dollars right before our eyes? They stepped into our world and became the biggest middlemen ever. We want to show you how to get paid on bills you're already paying. Let's face it, the world is changing and traditional ways of doing business are changing also. We have found a home-based business that enables you to place yourself in the middleman position and build residual income. Income that comes month after month for work you did once. Would you like to get paid for talking on your cell phone or watching TV? Now you can be the middleman for all the major cell phone companies, Wi-Fi and internet services, Dish Network, and a $1 trillion health and beauty industry, and dozens more. So call today, 800-325-0919, extension 7478. Make that call that can change your future. Call 800-325-0919, extension 7478.
It's indeed a tremendous blessing to be able to join you here as we launch into this hyphen year, 2011, a hyphen between the past and fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And we're going to see as we go through some of the developments that have taken place just in the last few days that indeed they're lining up exactly with these 8 points that I've shared with you in the first segment of our program. And if you're not able to hear the balance of the program on your terrestrial radio, I would urge you to go to our website, saveus.org. That's www.saveus.org, where you can listen to this program any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world. Many people are listening there. And you can go back up to a year or more on those archive programs, share them with your friends, Romans and countrymen, both on these shores and around the world. And if they bless you, they will bless your friends and relatives and acquaintances as well. Before we go further, let me just indicate we still have a few of the Jewish calendars available. And if you would like your Jewish calendar, which is a combination of the Gregorian calendar that we use and the Hebrew calendar, all merged in one, so that you can see and follow the special feast days of the Lord, and also have a ready access to a detailed explanation of both the historical and prophetic significance of those events. Then just give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. Your gift of $10 or more. They're $13 normally. We're making available to you for $10 plus $5 postage and handling. Call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. All right. Let us launch into the deep. You may recall last week that I shared with you the words of Pope Benedict XVI. He said, "The future of the world is at stake." Those are his exact words in his traditional Christmas greeting to Vatican officials. The Pope drew a link between the times of the fall of the Roman Empire and our own times, arguing that the future of the world is at stake. Now, what he basically did was put a hyphen between the Roman Empire and the Western world, our world today. He put a hyphen in there and said, "I see a link." Now, the full implications of it are not all written, but they're implied in that hyphen. And he said, "This is very serious. In fact, the future of the world is at stake." Now, he's not the first one to say something like that. It was earlier last year, I believe it was, that the former head of the U.S. Budget Office, who had left his office so that he would have freedom to warn our country and the entire West, he also said that America was now positioned like the ancient Roman Empire to fall quickly, because not only of our moral decadence, but also because of the tremendous economic burden now, the debt burden that we are under, and our responsibilities militarily around the world. All the same problems that Rome had. overarching debt, moral decadence, and also military extension that they couldn't keep up with. All of it. And so he warned us. Well, now the Pope, last week, warned us again. Describing the decline of the Roman Empire, he said the disintegration of the key principles of law and of the fundamental moral attitudes underpinning them burst open the dams which until that time had protected peaceful coexistence among peoples. He said the sun was setting over an entire world. There was no power in sight that could put a stop to this decline. Well, that's a very ominous statement. The future of the world is at stake. But indeed, I believe that it is. Do you? Do you believe that the future of the world is at stake? Or do you think that's just so much poppycock? Do you think it's just exaggeration and blowing things way out of proportion to gain some sort of an agenda? I don't think so. I think that there are a growing number of voices that indeed believe that. Now, the question is, how do you resolve those problems in our world if indeed the future of the world is at stake? That, my friend, is where the hyphen comes in, the hyphen of history. We can either resolve those problems according to man's best ideas and efforts or viewpoint, or we can resolve them according to God's viewpoint. And the choice is ours, not God's. Because God gave us free will. He gave us the ability to choose His will, His word, and His ways, or to resist it. And indeed, the Bible makes very plain that ultimately the majority of the world, the people on the planet, including their politicians, their priests, their popes, their rabbis, the majority of the planet will resist God's viewpoint. That's what the Bible teaches. It doesn't teach a worldwide majority people revival coming into the fold of Jesus Christ. It doesn't teach that. Jesus himself said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and precious few there will be that find it." Didn't he? So, don't you might as well disabuse yourself of this Pollyanna viewpoint that's passed around by so many pastors and parachurch leaders and broadcasters to try to make people feel good that we're on the edge of this worldwide revival that is going to bring untold billions of people. One writer even said that if Christianity continues to spread across the world as it is now, there will be more Christians than there are people in the world. I mean, just think about the foolishness of that. No, that is not the pattern of our world. The pattern of our world is to resist the truth of God's word, His will, and His ways. It's to scoff at God's truth. We're not evolving ever closer to love for God. No, as a matter of fact, just like the second law of thermodynamics says, in the natural world, things deteriorate by nature. And by nature, we deteriorate. It's the Adamic nature in us that causes us to deteriorate unless we are acted upon by an outside force, and that force being the Spirit of God, to cleanse us, to bring us to repentance, and to draw us back into an open and honest relationship with the God of the universe. Now, with that having been said, let's take a look at what's going on here. First of all, the same Pope that said the future of the world is at stake earlier last year called for a new global economy. Basically, what he called for was a new world order with a one world currency and a new global economy to satisfy these problems. What he didn't deal with was the other issues in the scriptures that would have warned him against taking that position. Now, I have in front of me two articles right now, or actually several articles from around the world, both in America and Britain and Europe, that are telling us that 2011 is not going to be a pretty picture economically. Here, financial Armageddon approaches, from the Business Insider, then from Daily Finance in the UK, 2011 will be a volatile year for markets. Then from the British Telegraph, Eurozone debt crisis spreads to Belgium. Then from the Express in the UK, living standards must fall in Europe by 15% to save the euro. Now, we thought the euro was doing wonderfully. Not so. Let me just share with you, it's possible that the Eurozone may not even survive next year, according to the Center for Economic and Business Research. Chief Executive Douglas McWilliams said the euro has an 80% chance of failing in its present form in the next 10 years. He said living standards would have to fall by 15% in the weaker economies, and that government spending would have to be slashed if the single currency was to survive. Mr. McWilliams added that there is no modern history of falling living standards in peacetime on the scale necessary to keep the euro in its current form. Well, what that's telling us is things are not well in Europe. The euro is not doing well. But we also know that the dollar is not doing well. In fact, I have in front of me the article from China Daily. China and Russia quit the dollar. In other words, they decide not to use the dollar anymore as the standard for their commerce between the two nations. Other nations have already rejected the dollar. Then came this headline: currency crisis. So what happens if the dollar and the euro both collapse? Well, friends, that's exactly where the Pope came in earlier this year, calling for a new global economy, a one-world government with a one-world economy and a one-world currency. That was the Pope that called for that. Now, the last couple of years, we have seen high drama at the OK Corral economically. But this year, we, I believe, are going to see the implications of that. We're going to see where it was leading. And I believe we're going to see some national and global actions that are going to be taken that are heading inexorably toward a one-world economy and a one-world currency to undergird the coming one-world government. Remember, it was the first permanent president of the European Union who in January of last year announced in his very first speech that the new world order had begun in the late summer of 2009. Now, if that be true from their perspective, we are now a year and a half, not quite a year and a half, into that new world order. How long is it going to take for it to take on its full form? The global economy, the global currency, with the effort to supposedly save the world, all against the prophesied glory of the coming Christ. It's coming. 2011, the hyphen of history. We'll be back. Lots more to share.
IRN, USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar. The new Republican-controlled House is in session this week. So is the Senate, and President Obama returns from Hawaii. Our correspondent Connie Lawn has more.
The themes of this Congress are austerity, jobs, and patriotism. For the first time, members of the House of Representatives publicly read the Constitution from the floor of the House. John Boehner is sworn in as Speaker on Wednesday, along with many other new lawmakers. Some are supporters of the Tea Party. Some of the new lawmakers will hold parties in their offices, but Congressman Boehner is asking for modesty and frugality. Connie Lawn, IRN USA Radio News, Washington.
The Australian military has been rushing in aid to restock the city before it gets cut off by floodwaters that have turned a huge swath of the outback into a lake. Drenching rain that started before Christmas has flooded an area the size of France and Germany combined in northeastern Queensland state, killing three people since Saturday. This is IRN USA Radio News.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-584-1095.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security check. Over the past decade, the tax team at J.K. Harris has successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-584-1095. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-584-1095. That's 800-584-1095.
With an IRN USA Business News Update, I'm Hope Duggar. Between construction and manufacturing, the economy is continuing to expand. Mark Hamrick has this report.
Manufacturing activity was expanding in December, experiencing its fastest growth rate since last May. The Institute for Supply Management says automakers, computer, and electronics companies, along with industrial machinery firms, all saw strength. In another report, the Commerce Department says construction spending increased by 0.4% in November, the increase paced by more home building as well as increased spending on government projects. Later this week, the government releases the monthly jobs report.
Discount store operator Dollar General Corporation says it plans to open 625 new stores and hire more than 6,000 workers this year. The store openings will be in 35 states where it currently operates, as well as in three new ones. It also plans to remodel or relocate 550 stores. With an IRN USA Business News Update, I'm Hope Duggar.
And I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. There are present issues with eternal perspective as we deal with a look into 2011 and the first half of 2012, which I believe is going to be a period that can be well seen as a hyphen of history, a period of time that will separate in a very significant way the past and the future fulfillment of biblical prophecy. It is going to be a period of time that is going to link in very important ways what has happened in the past and what God has told us will happen in the future. Look for it. And as we share some of these items here today on the broadcast desk, things that have just happened in the last few days, I think you'll see how they fit. It really is quite amazing. We opened the program with the words, Obama encouraging diplomatic assault on Israel. Palestinian officials say the Obama administration is only giving lip service to resisting a Latin American declaration recognizing a Palestinian state outside of a framework of an agreement with Israel. In what amounts to a diplomatic assault on Israel, Argentina and Uruguay announced they were joining Brazil in unilaterally recognizing an independent Palestinian state. Now, it's gone way beyond that. It's no longer just Uruguay and Brazil and Argentina. It's Paraguay and several others have just recently announced I can't, for some reason, I don't have access to all of them right now, but the number is growing rapidly, almost one a day, coming through and declaring they're going to recognize a Palestinian state. In fact, this weekend, Mahmoud Abbas, head of the Palestinian Authority, was in Brazil to lay the cornerstone of a Palestinian Authority embassy in Brazil. You see how quickly this is moving. Now, publicly, the U.S. was quick to rebuke the decision by Latin American countries. William Burns, U.S. Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, told reporters, "We believe such recognition is premature." But in actuality, Obama's not doing one thing to prevent more countries from recognizing a Palestinian state, said a PA official. In fact, he is encouraging it. A diplomatic assault on Israel. In basketball terms, you'd call it a full-court press. I'm not sure what you'd call it in military terms, but it's an overwhelming force that Obama is urging to come against Israel. That means the United States is right at the foreground of this effort to come against Israel. Now, that takes us back to the Jerusalem Post on December 26th. Industry, trade, and labor minister in Israel, Benjamin Ben Eliezer, said, "I would not be surprised if within this year the whole world will support a Palestinian state, including the United States." Now, friends, do you realize the significance of that? That means that it will have fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 12 that Jerusalem would become a burdensome stone and that all who purport to meddle with it will be broken in pieces and that though all the nations come against Israel and Jerusalem, that God himself will intervene and seek to destroy those nations. Now, don't take those words lightly, because the God of the universe has spoken them. The same God who spoke the worlds into existence, the same God who declared that he would send forth a Savior to save people from their sins, that same God declared that all the nations would come against Israel and Jerusalem. Joel the prophet warned about it. He said that God would bring those nations into the valley of Jehoshaphat and judge them for how they messed with Israel and sought to divide or part his land. We're right in the middle of it right now. Barack Obama has set this as the premier foreign policy of his entire agenda. In fact, I believe he wants this more than he did the so-called Obamacare. Because he sees this. He wants to be known as the peacemaker of the world. He wants to be known as the one who achieved something that nobody else could do. But you see, while God calls us to make peace, he does not call us to compromise with Israel, whom he called the apple of his eye. And he said he would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. You're beginning to see the problem. And now, on December 31st, Mahmoud Abbas urged the Quartet of Nations to draft a new peace plan. After laying the cornerstone for a future Palestinian embassy in Brazil, the PA president called upon the United Nations, the U.S., Europe, and Russia to devise a new vision for the Middle East, a Middle East peace. Now, I don't have time to go into the fullness of that, or we'll have to leave too many other things out. But this is huge. This has moved way beyond anything that we have ever seen up until now. this year. In fact, Mahmoud Abbas has indicated he thinks that we could even have a peace agreement within 2 months. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I think it's very likely by the end of this year. Now, can you imagine the significance of that? You talk about a hyphen in history. You talk about the difference between things leading up to the final events before our Lord's return and those final events. That would be about as big as they come. Because the ancient prophets had foretold that Israel would enter into this amazing covenant with death that they thought would be a peace agreement. Because they didn't put their trust in their Messiah. Rather, they put their trust in a false Christ who will come and promise them peace, peace, when there is no peace. Well, speaking of peace, this word peace is going to be a big deal. We'll be talking about it more because it's part of this hyphen of history year. The word peace is going to merge more and more and more this year. In fact, this weekend, Saturday, Pope Benedict declared he would host a summit of world religious leaders in Assisi, Italy, in October to discuss how they can better promote peace. Now, how is he going to better promote peace that way? Well, you might think about the implications of that, because John Paul II did exactly the same thing in October, 25 years ago. In fact, this meeting is now set to take place just as it did with Pope John Paul II in 1986 in the birthplace of St. Francis of Assisi, where Pope John Paul II called the religious leaders together of the religions of the world, 100 of them, for a common prayer meeting. And he called for the religions of the world to all come together in a nice warm fuzzy under the protective wing of the Vatican. Now this Pope is doing the same thing. It's to protect Christians, he said. Well, there is an assault on Christians, no question about it. This very weekend, 21 people exterminated there in Egypt as they left a church for a watch night service. A terrible thing, and it's happening all over the Middle East. In that sense, the Pope is right. But friends, how can you make common cause with other religions that do not believe in the God of the Bible? A one-world religion is very quickly on its way. Not on red in line, waiting for your triumphant return. You're coming soon. So people get ready, Jesus is coming soon. We'll be going home. People get ready, Jesus is coming to take from the world as a whole. People get.
When Jesus described the times leading to his return, he warned that pestilence would ravage the earth. And we're now in those times, and medical experts are warning of plagues, viruses, and life-threatening conditions for which antibiotics are either losing effectiveness or have no effect. MRSA is one of those, even ravaging our hospitals. So what can we do? Amazingly, a new technology called Silver Sol has recently been discovered, and this technology is so good and so effective in responding to these conditions that it's even been patented, and it comes in both liquid and gel form. For the safety of your family, I want to urge you to look at Silver Sol. Go to our website now, saveus.org, and get more information. Then order yours today. That's saveus.org or call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Do it today. Don't delay.
Every day, the age at which you think you'll retire seems to get farther away. From the downturn in the stock markets to the meddling of politicians in the economy, there's uncertainty everywhere. What will happen to your nest egg? The time is now for you to protect what you have left and prosper into those retirement years. Don't be a victim of market uncertainty. Hedge those hard-earned dollars with the Precious Metals IRA. Whether you have a 401k, traditional or Roth IRA, or even a SEP plan, you can protect yourself and remain tax-deferred via the Precious Metals IRA. FAMC, a leader in predicting market trends and storm-proofing assets, can help you roll over or set up a Precious Metals IRA. No, this is not a certificate, but the real thing with real gold and silver funding your retirement. Don't let your retirement wither away. Protect it today. Call 800-325-0919, 325-0919. For more information on the Precious Metals IRA, 800-325-0919.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. We're talking about the year 2011, the hyphen of history. This 12 to 18 month period for 2011 into the first half of 2012, I believe, is going to be a momentous period of time for human history. And I urge you, as a professing Christian, to open your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. I cannot give you the day or the hour of Christ's return, but I do believe that we are looking at the rapid fulfillment of biblical prophecy. We've been sharing these things with you over the past several years, and now it's accelerating. And that's why this particular year is a hyphen year. It's a period of time in which the stage, the final stage, I believe, is being set for the ultimate and a dramatic fulfillment of the final elements of biblical prophecy preceding the second coming. Now, one of those has to do with the Jewish people returning to Israel. We know that since 1948, when the state of Israel was reborn in a miraculous way, that Jewish people have been returning. There were 600,000 Jews in Israel at about that time, and now there are 5.5 million. That's a lot of people who have returned to Israel, and most of them have come, the highest percentage, I should say, have come from the former Soviet Union countries. Well, they're still coming from there, but they're coming from countries all around the world. And it is my conviction that just as for the last 2 years there has been a steady rise in Jewish people making Aliyah, that is, going up, returning to Israel to make it their home, I believe that in the next 12 to 18 months, we are going to see something that is going to make those modest increases that are somewhere around 15% or so, it's going to make them look very small. I would not be at all surprised, but what we saw, 100% increase of Jews making Aliyah this year and in the next 18 months, maybe much higher than that. As anti-Semitism is exploding in the Western world, and Jews are being driven out everywhere, the attitudes against the Jewish people in the Western world, including the United States, in our universities and so on, are becoming so bitter, so angry, that it is, well, it's just hard to fathom. It's hard to fathom. And now the calls are coming out in various places of our world that the Jews are responsible for the economic downturn. The Jews are responsible for this, that, or the other, just like it was in Hitler's day. You see, history is repeating itself, and we're not learning from it. We think that we're above it, but we're not. And the Jewish people are going to be driven back to Israel, and we're going to see a huge flood of that this year and the next 18 months. Then, in addition to that, there is a rapidly growing effort to biometrically identify people. I shared with you last week the report from Scotland Scottish schools have introduced intrusive biometric systems such as fingerprinting to identify pupils as young as four. They've got 68 schools in which they're using this, and it's going to multiply. This is just the beginning. Use it for cashless catering in four primary schools and eight secondary schools, and they're using it for just about everything, to get a library book, to manage meals, even to allow access to the toilets. And if you think what's happening in our airports is taking away our freedoms, friends, that's just the beginning. This thing is coming very, very quickly so that no man will be able to buy or sell save he who has the mark representing his allegiance or commitment to the new global empire, the beast government that is coming. Then, proof that history repeats itself comes with the news that Muslims have initiated their reconquest of Spain. This is an article that just came out January 2nd, Sunday, January 2nd. That's right. It came from the UK. The number of Muslims in Spain has climbed from 100,000 in 1990 to over 1.5 million in 2010. Mosques are being constructed on a grand scale throughout the country. The city of Barcelona, widely known as the European Mecca of anti-clerical postmodernism, has agreed to shell out nearly $30 million in public funds for the construction of an official mega mosque with a capacity of thousands of Muslim worshippers. Now, that's not all. This new construction of new mosques comes at a time when the municipalities linked to the Socialist Party have closed dozens of Christian churches across Spain by enactment of new zoning laws. Now, this idea of building a mega mosque is funded by Spanish taxpayers comes from a fellow by the name of Ziani, a Barcelona-based Moroccan imam, who says the construction of mosques would be the best way to fight Islamic fundamentalism in Spain. He said the European government should pay for the training of imams to avoid radical positions. He went on to say it's absolutely necessary to accept Islamic values as European values. He says that from now on, Europeans should replace the term Judeo-Christian with the term Islamo-Christian when describing Western civilization. Are you shocked? How about this article? Will Chrislam visit your church? Political correctness is causing the church in North America to cave in to Islam. Presbyterian churches, other churches, many churches are bringing in Muslims, imams into their pulpits. They're having mixed worship. How do you do that? It's just unbelievable what is happening. Friends, this merger of the religions is coming much more quickly than you would ever believe. This is the stealth takeover of the world through Islam that is dedicated by its own Quran mandate to rule the world under Sharia law. And it's happening rapidly. You think the problem there in New York with that mosque was just sort of an anomaly? Oh, no. In fact, the majority of the nation has no problem with all these mosques. It's just politically correct. We are so biblically illiterate. We are so lacking in biblical faith in this country that we are totally open to the insurgency even of Islam that is dedicated to the destruction of this country, dedicated to the total eradication of Christianity and Jews. It's happening rapidly, right now. Then, more fury over open homosexuality in the military. Well, that's just one indication. The reason I bring this up is not just to bring up the issue of homosexuality in the military. We don't have time to talk about all of that and its significance right now. It is just one manifestation of the entire world becoming Sodom and Gomorrah. And this, for the largest, greatest superpower in the history of mankind to turn on its head its entire history of commitment to rejecting sodomy as an open and notorious, defiant act in the face of the Creator, to turn around and welcome it into our very military, as Israel did in 1993. This, my friends, is the mark that as this is implemented, and the other nations now, including the Scandinavian nations and so on, the European nations, as they all, and South American nations, as now they are universally embracing homosexuality. This is the final straw, morally, that the nations are rising up in absolute and total defiance against the God of creation, and He will not put up with it. This is the hyphen. This is the thing, like Sodom and Gomorrah, and God looked down and He could not find even 10 righteous in all of Sodom and Gomorrah. Not even 10 righteous. I want you to think about the implications of this. Then, China, Russia, oil pipeline operations significant to global energy. The launch of a new oil pipeline between Russia's East Siberia and Chinese city of Daging can be significant for the global energy market, a Russian expert said. This is a huge deal, really big. Russia, as the largest energy producer, turns its head from the west to the east now. This had to happen the first time. This happened the first time in decades. Europe cannot compete now with China in terms of investments into Russian economy. Of late, Russia has been largely dependent on European consumers for its oil exports and is seeking alternative markets, and China is the favored destination. Opening the new pipeline makes China a transit route between Russia and Asia. And now, China and Russia will be linked inexorably over oil. Do you realize how big that is? What happens now if and when Israel discovers a major oil find, major oil reserves, which I believe is very likely in the next 12 to 18 months? It is going to so threaten China, Russia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Libya, that they will enter into a confederation to take a spoil from Israel before Israel can ever collect on her find. And just this weekend, it was announced that Israel has discovered yet a third super major gas find off the coast of Haifa. Friends, this is indeed the hyphen year of history. We're trying to connect the dots to help us understand the times so that we can act appropriately. Prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Friends, send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Don't wait for the other guy to do it. We're so grateful for those who have generously supported, particularly in this last 30 days. But friends, we need a lot of help if we're going to prepare and get this message out for such a time as this. Who knows but what you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Views expressed opinions on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.